Hey everybody. she shares with clarity and what else? I think I heard Ann say earlier, by the way, Ann, I was listening to you on the radio, to the extent that I was able. but I think I heard Ann say earlier something about lack of clarity. hey Kathy. Honesty and passion, that's it. Honesty and passion. I can hang my hat on that for sure. I think I might have actually played, I'm getting ready to play a song, and I might have actually played it last time we were here, but that's the one that came up when I said, what shall I play? So let me do it. It's my brother, Daryl Price and Shiker Cameron. Here we go.
I'll just pass him by. none other than myself, and no one will be left behind. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine, and I raised my hand when I looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home.
Okay. Let me get rid of that screen. There we go. Welcome everyone. Happy Wednesday. hello Kitty. Kitty's right up here in my face. Yes. Gosh, where do I want to start? Well, I guess I'll start with a confession. They say confession is good for the soul, right? So the confession is that this is a story I've got in my mind. as you know, there's been a lot going on, long hours, lots of running, real irregular schedule with getting this stuff together for the retreat house. Have had company in and out, packing for the Italy trip, buying the right shoes and then they find out they're the wrong shoes and da 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 da. I mean, just, you know, a lot. And the confession part of this is, with all of that, I have not been journaling. So, I knew this Wednesday was coming, just like every Wednesday comes, and I knew that there would be, it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? You got nothing to read from. You got no journal, you know, which is actually, you know, it's amusing. That's, you know, that's secondary, right? It's like, I've been reading the lessons. I haven't been referring back to them many times during the day. It just seems like, for me, a common... practice is the lack of practice when what gets cut out, the practice, and of course it's the practice that the stillness that keeps you grounded. And I just I haven't been doing that as I normally would, you know. I think you're so busy, and you know, everything's happening early in the morning, and that's your time that you take between, you know, like 8 and 10, right? Well, for one thing, I haven't felt much like getting up. I'm not sleeping. And I've been having a harder time getting up in the morning, and so it's like practice loses out. But it's for me, it's really good to see that's the pattern. It's good to see the pattern. And there's been a lot going on, not just on the outside. Imagine that, going on the inside. So when I said, okay, you have no journal entries, what are you going to do today? It became clear to me that what I would do is look at this latest Jan Fraser teaching that came out. I know Kathy gets these on her email feed or however she gets them, because I often see her post the Jan Fraser teachings in Facebook soon after they come out. So, So anyway, this one is called Being Judgmental, and of course it is, Kathy says she loves the latest one. It is so on point for what's going on with me, based on, oops, wait a minute, there goes the phone. Okay, one sec.
Text from Regina.
From Regina. Oh.
Read it or ignore it.
No, I want to ignore it. Ignore that, Regina. But let me turn that down. yeah, it's right on point for what's going on with me and my interactions with those around me. So this topic is definitely up. But I'm not going to just sit here and ramble on. I am going to begin reading this teaching teach what I would learn from that. So it's called Being Judgmental. And Jan says, do you ever notice yourself in the act of being judgmental or unkind, either to another or to yourself? When your quote-unquote spiritual self becomes conscious of this, what goes on inside? Do you look away? Do you tell yourself that being judgmental is indicative of a deep inner feeling? Do you feel some changes in order, that you need to be more vigilant, try harder to be more passionate? Perhaps your ego self insists that no, in this case, the judgment is justified. Make note of the energy involved when all of this is going on. Notice how in your head you are, how the thoughts generate uncomfortable emotions. Realize that the intensity of mental and emotional turmoil is an indication of a colossal waste of effort of life. Gently set aside the intention to do better, be more vigilant. Nothing final can ever change in that environment of trying one more time to fix yourself. It is not going to help you change, let alone become liberated from all illusion. The only change that's ever been needed is for you to see through the illusion that your mind-enslaved ego is what you are, that it can ever fundamentally change, never mind awaken. And there's a break there in the reading, and I want to go back and look at a little bit of this. First of all, let me say how on point this is for our current gentle. Yes, exactly. For our, it's the same as our tip. That's exactly right, Kathy. The true practice is, how did it put it? Somebody tell me. I looked at it earlier. Not believing the ego. True practice is not believing the ego. Is that how it was put by Regina in her tip? Good enough. I agree, Kathy. Good enough. Close enough. I really appreciated here where she just let me read these sentences to you again. First of all, to make note of the energy involved when all of this is going on, and so that's so there is an energy there, and it's that kind of energy that I've been kind of swirling around in for the past several days. Anybody has had any dealings with me in these past several days can tell you. there's some kind of energy swirling around there. What the hell's going on with Jacqueline? You know, whether that's Regina or Ann or Connie or. But there is an energy with this judgment and this belief that it's somehow justified. Yeah, but they really are being whatever they're being. You know, they. You know, I hear that. This next sentence I really appreciate. Notice how in your head you are, how the thoughts generate uncomfortable emotions. And I think that that's what I was looking at last time I was here with you guys after journaling with the Holy Spirit. I was asking to see, Carol, what you pray for, I was asking to see how the connection between desire and emotion, and how it was the desire that generates this emotion. Otherwise, it's just stuff passing through, right? This being judgmental desire is really the desire that things be different than they are. I see the energy and the emotions that are generated by that desire. And frankly, it's not something I'm interested in cultivating. It's not something that I'm interested in. Not, I don't have to cultivate. It's been cultivated. It's not something that I'm interested in hanging on to. The other thing that comes up here is in the first paragraph of this teaching, she says, do you feel that some change is in order, that you need to be more vigilant, try harder to be more compassionate? And I was having difficulties in a relationship that I was dealing with recently, and it's funny because right in the midst of it, I had a dream, and I dreamed of my father, who you guys are probably aware. My father passed away last December, he said, "One." I'm like, "Are you here to tell you? No, you're dead. So what's up? Why are you here?" What is it you want to tell me? And he said one word. You know, there was just so much emotion and so much, you know, in the dream, so much depth in it that it was just like, all that he had to tell me in one word, and the word was compassion. And so, you know, even though I thought this person that I was dealing with was like, you know, fooling themselves and telling themselves stories and, you know, whatever we did, we collectively, the human condition, whatever we do obfuscate the truth, to hide the truth from ourselves. This person was just participating in the human condition. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's just how we've learned to be. And I was very pleased to have that very clear instruction, you know, compassion. And so that when difficult conversations would come up, then I was able to say, wait a minute, you know, to me internally, wait a minute, let's apply compassion. You know, maybe they're not getting it right. Maybe they are fooling themselves. Maybe they are saying things that you think are things that are not said in polite company or whatever. Let's have some compassion here. You know, and I heard Kathy talking about earlier, you know, dealing with people who seem to be lying. And, you know, and her question, one of her questions for herself was, well, have I ever lied? And the answer is, of course. Yeah, of course. You know, of course we all lie to ourselves. You know, that's what's being undone, right? The tendency to lie to ourselves and to hide from ourselves. So it is no big surprise that things are coming to a head. Hello, Kitty. But it goes beyond that. And the cat. Oh wait, let me get the cat move without spilling the tea. Okay, cat, down you go. So I'm gonna go back to this reading. I guess what I want to say at the end of that, I got to witness how compassion wiped all that other bullshit away, right? It wiped all that other. You know, being in my head and roiling around in that, you know, it wipes all the other stuff out, right? It's just like, oh, remember compassion. Oh, okay, now let's talk about the next subject. You know, it's just no big deal. Once you get out of your head, you know, and compassion is this dropping into your heart, recognizing, as the song said, you know, you're not on a path that's different than mine. You know, all on the same path. We are all the same. We are all literally one. And so what I want to say about that is that I see the I see that there is general applicability in the instruction that I received from my father in a dream. That's not just that one that one discrete area, that one discrete relationship where I need to practice compassion, but that it applies across the board. And Jan says it here in a way that it's like, do you want to try harder to be more compassionate? As if it's like, you know, again, that fixing energy. So let's just look at this a little bit deeper. And I think that the move towards compassion is simply the move from head to the heart. And I think she said something similar, but let's but let's look at what she does say. She says, first of all, I'm going back up to that last sentence. The only change that's ever been needed is for you to see through the illusion that your mind-enslaved ego is what you are, that it can ever fundamentally change, never mind awaken. She says, even so, whenever you become conscious of being hard on someone, whether it's yourself or another, there is a real opportunity for something illuminating to occur, something ultimately freeing. And bless Anne's heart, because when we'll meet, and when I don't want to hear something, you know, I can be really rough around the edges. And Regina can tell you the same thing, you know. And it's people who love me and who are encouraging me to look in the right direction, to quit pointing at, you know, what seems to be screwed up outside of me, and go, you know, if my mind were perfectly healed, I wouldn't be having a hissy fit that this is going on. You know, I wouldn't be irritable unkind. So as she says, that's what Jan is saying as well. So there's an opportunity to look at something. There is an opportunity for something illuminating to occur, something ultimately freeing. This isn't a call for self-forgiveness, for straining to forgive another their imperfection. It's about backing up and looking at the whole thing from a larger perspective, a point of view where forgiveness is not needed, where judgment and resistance do not occur. It's what happens when you look at your messy interior with eyes of awareness rather than the eyes of the ego, which is equipped to see only good and bad, only progress and backsliding. While the ego is a knotted mess of swirling thought and emotion, and God, don't I know that, right? While the ego is a knotted mess of swirling thought and emotion, awareness simply sees. It has no capacity for reference or resistance. It holds no orientation of wanting anything to be other than it is. It does not generate emotion, right? It's desireless. How would it generate emotion? It does not generate emotion, making it conspicuously different from ego scrutinizing. Awareness. Kathy says backsliding has been on the list today. Yeah. Awareness is restful and still. It infuses the moment with light, which has the power to reveal things previously unseen. This generosity of consciousness is potentially transformative in a way that trying to improve cannot ever hope to be. As I read this, I'm reminded of when Jan came to our retreat a few years back and talked about the generosity of consciousness, you know, in the sense that it allows what is, right? It's the loving all method. I'm just going to read on. The spaciousness of observing yourself from the perspective of conscious looking does not stir fear. When fear or any other powerful emotion is felt to come into the picture, be aware of this. Something in you is able to notice that fear is happening. What is that noticer? Realize that it is not experiencing the fear, only seeing it. I'm reminded of, you know, my mighty companions pointing gently to the fact that there might be something to be seen here. And Cheryl did that last night. She was talking, she was basically saying the same thing. And I'm like, who's afraid? You're afraid. I'm not afraid. resistance to looking. So realize that the awareness is not experiencing the fear, only seeing it. This is what you most truly are, this one that sees but does not get lost in what is happening. She says, yes, this is possible for you. It's possible for everyone, part of our innate capacity as intelligent beings. Though your spiritual persona, a product of the ego, may be so accustomed to looking at yourself and others with a scrutinizing eye, automatically judging whatever's there to see, that this neutral looking is unfamiliar territory. When you try to go there and you notice yourself judging, resisting, recoiling, all of which are thinking, not looking. As soon as you see that these things are happening, realize that the one observing all of this is not caught up in it. Rather than getting lost in the content of what's being observed, the imperfection, the perceived need to do better, the situation that set it in motion, pay attention always to what's doing the seeing. Is it the emotion-generating mind, the one that wants to avoid or fix it, or is it neutral, peaceful awareness? We go back to this whole idea of, and that's the message that's been coming through in NTI very clearly, you know, this be gentle with yourself. How important this is, and we were just reading that from Hebrews, you got to split mind. Connie and I were reading that in Hebrews last night. You got to split mind, but you know, you got to split mind, okay? And your awake mind is going to wake up your being mind. Doubling down, you know, turn around going, oh, you're supposed to be so much further along than this. You're supposed to be this. It's not helpful. It's remembering to take that step back out of the, described ego mind, out of the knotted mess of swirling thought and emotion. It's just remembering to take the step back for the larger perspective, or to get out of your head and into your heart. That is the generosity of consciousness. That does make room for everything condemnation or attempting to eradicate it or fix it. Deny or disguise, absolutely, Kathy. Pay attention always to what's doing seeing. Is the emotion-generating mind the one that's to avoid or fix, or is it neutral, peaceful awareness. Jan says, you may have become trapped in the mistaken impression that attempting to rein in unkind thoughts will lead to real change. Not only is this approach doomed to failure, to frustration, and or mounting denial, but it will do nothing whatever to land you in compassion that's authenticness, that's unconditional, indiscriminate. Genuine openness to self and other has never blossomed from self-discipline, from the strain to quiet judgment, to reframe negative thoughts. Being harsh or dismissive of someone is really on the surface of things. It is a symptom, an expression of something being held under pressure, something about yourself you're reluctant to look at. The outward directed focus on the wrongdoing is a protective device. When the light of awareness is allowed to penetrate what's underneath, what does it enable you to see? Yeah. You know, what it, and it's just so obvious that, obvious now, sitting with this, reading these words, that resistance is, you know, it's simply the unwillingness to look, not just to, not to see, not to, oh, you get, you tell me that, okay, now I get it. No, it's the unwillingness to look at what's really, you know, at which of my wounds you seem to push when you do that thing that gets on my nerves or whatever, right? It's an unwillingness to change that focus from resistance is an unwillingness to look. And says, when one judges another, even as a given episode of judgment may appear to be justified, something deeper is driving the disdain or intolerance. Judgment carries perceived benefit to self. Otherwise, it wouldn't keep occurring. The benefit is that the focus on the other person's perceived imperfection protects you from having to face yourself. See how a voice in you keeps insisting, no, judgment is justified here. Courage is required to look at this. Did you think waking up was for the faint of heart? Yeah. So, judgment carries a perceived benefit to self. Otherwise, it wouldn't keep occurring. The benefit is that the focus on the other person's perceived imperfection you from having to face yourself. So, I mean, that's where we were a minute ago. I mean, that's what we got to a moment ago. So, you know, when awareness of that shines a light on all of it, doesn't it? It does for me. Yeah, and she said something earlier, I'm not sure the exact words, but it's like a pressure cooker. Right? When you're not facing it, it's just the pressure. Yeah, here it is. It's a symptom, an expression of something being held under pressure. Something about yourself you're reluctant to look at. Huh, not me. You know, I can feel that that knee jerk. I am justified. They are acting stupid. I can feel that immediately come up. In me. So again, it's a protective device. Ego's protecting itself. I'm trying to protect myself from going where ego wouldn't have me go. You know, I'm trying to protect myself from looking deeply. Yeah. Kathy notes, while I suffer in this benefit, quote unquote, benefit of judgment. Yeah. And it doesn't protect you. It doesn't do what it's, you know, come here, we'll judge them, we'll feel better, you know. I mean, it doesn't really work that way. You don't feel worse. You feel tons worse. Keeping from looking is much more painful than looking. That's the bottom line. It doesn't feel that way, but it's true. Courage, she says, is required to look at this. Did you think waking up was for the faint of heart? No, I didn't. Of course, I'm hearing right now, even as I say that, no, but I thought there'd be more breaks. I thought I could catch my breath. And the truth is, there are breaks, right? You know, things are more intense sometimes than others. And the than others is the break, you know. So if you're not experiencing set, you know, be grateful. And when I say you, I mean me, right? And when you are experiencing upset, be willing to look at the cause of my upset. And the cause of my upset will never be something outside of me. And, you know, I ought to be pretty good at this. I was telling somebody recently, I think Anne, I was also telling Connie last night, about this, and maybe it was Regina, who knows, about this tendency that I have to, you know, people are like, you're much more willing to participate in confrontation or, you know, to want to get things resolved right now, right? That has been the way I have operated for 57 years. You know, I'm not crazy about the knowing. I'm not crazy about not having things be. I'm not crazy about having things be up there. You know, recently on that whole bankruptcy issue, the guidance seems to be just wait. Well, I don't want to just wait. What does just wait mean? I got to hold all my 3 million options. Well, not that I got that many options, but, you know, I got all these plates that I'm trying to keep spinning, right? All these balls in the air. And just wait doesn't seem very helpful. Yeah, so what I was saying was this ought to be easy for me because I like to push things to conclusion. So, so this being in this netherland you know, just letting things be unsettled without ever looking at it is really, it's not helpful, and it's counter to the way I normally do things anyway, so. Yes, Kathy, thank you. Yes, I mean, rather than avoiding it, let's just run this thing down, you know? Let's get some resolution on it, this thing that keeps coming back around and back around and back around. So let me read a little bit more from Jan. She says, making another person less than you can be a way to feel better about self. Perhaps it comes from a desperate desire to forge a sense of identity, to know what you stand for, or it's a way to hide from something about yourself, such as a flaw projected onto another that is just as true of you. Perhaps it happens because of a feeling of inadequacy or even self-loathing, a buried anger or fear. There can be many motivators. What would it be like to allow yourself to feel the fullness of it all, to become entirely transparent to spacious awareness? Yeah, and yeah, sorry, Kathy. Thank you for asking for the clarity on that modus operandi. Yeah, where some people might rather just avoid having a conversation about this or that. No, I want the conversation because I want it resolved now. Yeah, same thing here. Jan says, judging appears to be about the other person, but seen more deeply, which is the call, but seen more deeply, the surface emotions and thoughts are always about the one doing the judging. It's for each person to look within, to see what it's deep about, to see what's there. She says, don't expect the ego to warm to this. If you're self-aware enough to notice yourself scorning another, the discomfort you feel is likely, due to rigorous spiritual training, to be chalked up to the lack of compassion. But really, it's a kind of echo of the underlying pain within that you've been hiding from. If you focus on feeling bad for being judgmental, you will continue to miss the deeper point. It will revisit you again and again until you're willing to go there, to look without judgment on the fullness of what drives this particular way of keeping yourself separate from others, to see how very identified you are with the whole convoluted mess. Yeah, and so, you know, there's a couple of ways she's gone over, a couple of ways to deal with judgment, right? A couple of things we do. The first is to go, I'm justified. You know, they really are being a butthead, right? No, that's helpful. Not. And the other is to then judge yourself for being judgmental. Again, not helpful. And the third is to open up, to become transparent to the disinfecting light of awareness. And you don't get that if you continue to stand your ground and see through the eyes of the person. You know, whether you're the spiritual person or the person who's throwing the spiritual stuff off, you know, either way, it's not helpful. What's required is this willingness to be transparent. Yeah, Kathy, I can't claim that disinfecting light thing. It's, I think it was former Supreme Court Justice Learned Hand, I think. I talked about how light is the best defectant, but it's certainly true here. The willingness to see it with clarity and not to continue to hide. Jan says there is and I got to tell you guys that even as I say that. Yeah, clean the mirror of my mind. Exactly. Yes. Even as I say that, you know, I feel the resistance, the pushback on that. You know, I can tell you where I feel it in my body. It's like, it's not me. It's not my fault. I'm not doing it. I feel that. So I just want to share. But that's okay. Because this is what willingness looks like. You all have heard me say before that certainly there have been times on this journey where I have said, and this is one of those times, where I have said, I'm willing to be willing. I am willing to open up to the disinfecting light. Jan says, there is, excuse me, there is an enduring reluctance. Excuse me. There is an enduring reluctance to acknowledge the common fragility of us all, to see we are all much more alike than different, each of us subject to our particular conditioning and doing the best we can in light of the baggage that goes everywhere we go. Yeah, that sure sounds like compassion to me, but I'm reminded here that she talked earlier about genuine compassion, genuine kindness, when it comes from a place where it requires no effort, when it comes from awareness itself. Yeah, she says, You may have become trapped in the mistaken impression that attempting to rein in unkind thoughts will lead to real change. Not only is this approach doomed to failure, to frustration, and or mounting denial, but it will do nothing whatever to land you in compassion that's authentic, kindness that's unconditional, indiscriminate. So Jan says, how well I know the perverse exhilaration of righteous indignation. Once upon a time, I was drawn to any opportunity to feel the heat of fury rise up, to express outrage over someone having been reckless or showing disrespect to me or a loved one. On and on it went. I lived there for many years, never seeing the terrible fragility that underlay the desperate attempt to make myself better than another, to protect myself from chaos, from some unbearable truth, like my own emotions, like instability and uncertainty. Anything but simply allow myself to be in the presence of another's flawed humanity, to see how really alike we all are. That's compassion. I said that, Jen didn't. That's compassion. Looking down my nose at another, which I mostly managed to conceal in polite society, helped me feel okay about my flawed self, about the uncertain flow of forces perennially beyond my control. We all have our reasons for lying to ourselves about what's deeply going on when we scorn or lash out at another. At some point, I would come to understand that if somebody appears reckless or inconsiderate or narrow-minded, that behavior is a surface expression of their own terrible fragility. We will do anything to rescue ourselves from seeing and feeling the underlying mess that drives our behavior and attitudes towards others. She says, bringing it all into the light of consciousness is not about psychoanalyzing or the need to heal. It is about simply seeing the fullness of what's operating. It's about allowing no part of yourself to be hidden, about ceasing all inner divisions. Radical surrender is what is asked for. Allowing yourself to fully feel whatever is there, however painful it may be. Surrender has a way of turning on the light, of bringing release. I'm going to finish reading this. It's a couple more paragraphs, and I know we're about out of time, and I hope I haven't just been reading. I think for me it's been very helpful. I hope that you find it that way as well. Until you begin to look more deeply at what gives rise to disdain and resistance, until there ceases to be division within yourself, avoiding feeling painful truths, judging yourself, one part of you doing battle with another. Those are the divisions within yourself she's pointing to. Until there ceases to be division within yourself, there will continue to be perceived distance from others. Such division within yourself, like any apparent difference from others, you being better or worse than someone else, reinforces the impression that you are your ego self. It reinforces the impression that you are your ego self. That division does. Which brings us back to today's tip. Until you cease to put distance from any part of yourself or from others, peace will continue to elude you. Learning to gently, unflinchingly look at what's deeply going on without judgment or resistance leads the earnest seeker into luscious terrain. It makes you whole within yourself, flooding every uncomfortable truth in an equal light. Even when it's painful, which it will surely sometimes be, the separation within yourself melts away, and who could have imagined, no longer feels so different from others. And this is what I was talking about, you know, with this other relationship that I was dealing with. I mean, that was the message from Dad, right? Compassion. The separation within yourself melts away, and who could have imagined you no longer feel so different from others, neither superior or inferior. We're all just people, after all, doing the best we can, given our conditioning. As someone once put it, we're all bozos on the bus. Thanks, Anne. I'm glad you're finding it helpful, too. We're all bozos on the bus. With this newfound understanding, born of a deep inner fathoming, how can compassion for self and others and for others not abound? With this newfound understanding, born of a deep inner fathoming, how can compassion for self and for others not abound? The discovery is made that each of us has always been doing the fumbling best we could under the circumstances, given our particular wounds and histories and limitations. What do you know? And along the way, as your ferocious clinging to right and wrong is able to soften, it becomes apparent that what you truly are is not that imperfect one. You are what is able to observe the whole thing with utter equanimity. The you that appears to need to improve will never awaken from the whole mess. It is incapable of it. So stop trying to fix it. Instead, learn to become more attuned to the intelligent consciousness that is able to observe it all happening. The imperfection, the desire and effort to make correction, the persistent identification with it all. This conscious awareness is innate to you. It is what you deeply are. It is awakeness itself. So, thank you guys for letting me share. I love you all, and we're all bozos on. Yeah, what if God was one of us, just slobs like one of us, just a slob like one of us. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. I love you, and I'll see you next time. Bye.